Good morning. My name is Emily, and our scripture reading for today comes from Psalm 65, verses 5 through 13. You faithfully answer our prayers with awesome deeds, O God, our Savior. You are the hope of everyone on earth, even those who sail on distant seas. You formed the mountains by your power and armed yourself with mighty strength. You quieted the raging oceans with their pounding waves and silenced the shouting of the nations. Those who live at the ends of the earth stand in awe of your wonders. From where the sun rises to where it sets, you inspire shouts of joy. You take care of the earth and water it, making it rich and fertile. The river of God has plenty of water. It provides a bountiful harvest of grain, for you have ordered it so. You drench the plow ground with rain, melting the clods and leveling the ridges. You soften the earth with showers and bless its abundant crops. You crown the year with a bountiful harvest. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness become a lush pasture, and the hillsides blossom with joy. The meadows are clothed with flocks of sheep, and the valleys are carpeted with grain. They all shout and sing for joy. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I even cut like four verses off of it. Still so long. Good morning. How are you all? Good. It's good to be with you this morning. I'm going to be very honest with you. I have been excited about today all summer long. This summer, we have been doing something a little bit different around here, and we've been doing something we call perspectives, and basically the theory behind it is that you guys hear my perspective on the scriptures pretty much every single week, and so the idea for this summer was, wouldn't it be nice to also hear some other perspectives on things, and some other thoughts, and life experience, and stories? I mean, at this point, I really do tell the same stories over and over again. Don't stop me, because they're good. So that was the idea, is to bring in other voices. And at the very beginning of the summer, I knew that we were headed towards Psalm 65, and I wanted two people to join me to talk about it, and they both said yes. And if you know them, you know I'm honestly kind of shocked by this, especially of one. But they both said yes. And so all summer long, in anticipation, I have been waiting for July 26th so that you could hear from them. They are the reason that I'm so excited to introduce them this morning and talk to them about this particular psalm is that if we are going to read a psalm that talks about the glory of the Lord in nature, to me it makes sense to hear about that from people who spend their entire lives in nature. I very regularly, when I talk about these two, these are dear, dear friends of mine. And so when I talk about them, I say that, you know, be like, oh, my friend says this and he speaks for the trees. So I've been affectionately calling this Lorax Sunday all summer long. And so one is a land manager, one is a ornamental culturalist. Oh, I practiced all day, so I wouldn't mess up saying that. But these are my dear friends, Stan Sharp and Bradley Foy, coming on out.
Which chair are you taking?
You meet me in the middle?
Check.
Girls in the middle. We dressed alike on purpose. Required wardrobe. Okay, will you just say your name and what do you actually do for a living other than speaking for the trees, both of you?
I am Brad LaFoy, and I am a land manager for Blackberry Mountain, and so I have a wonderful opportunity to just take care of what God's created and try to usher it along as we do what we do.
Perfect. It's perfect.
My name is Stan Sharp, and I'm a pastor here. I'm just kidding.
No, he ain't.
But if you get the joke, you get the joke. For those of you who are new here, ask me later. I'm a horticulturalist here in town, and I work with a landscape company. In my spare time, I am a shepherd and a farmer. And so of the 8 hours that I'm not sleeping in a 24-hour cycle, I'm outside about 16 hours.
You get 8 hours of sleep with a baby?
Well, he's now sleeping through the night. And if I go to sleep
at... C-SAN for sleep tips.
Yeah, if I go to sleep at 9:10, I can get I can get 8 hours of sleep. Maybe interrupted, but...
You know.
So that's who I am.
Brad attends our very dear friends, the Church of the Redeemer that meets down the hill at the high school, who we absolutely love and adore, so we stole him for this week. I have a few questions that I'm going to ask them, and we're going to talk through Psalm 65 from their perspective, both in their jobs and in their lives and all the things. So the first question I'm going to throw to you, Stan, and then we'll throw off to Brad, is this. One of the questions that we ask a lot as a church is when we are engaging the scriptures, we talk about how the scriptures are asking this big question of who or what is God. And so as we think about that question, and as you read through Psalm 65, and we've all been reading through Psalm 65 this week, how is it, like, what does this psalm have to say about who or what is God?
When I read through Psalm 65, specifically the verses that we just read together, I see God as a great creator and even an inventor. When you think of how the psalmist talks about the water system and how water flows and how the rain comes down and moves into rivers and beats clods into the soil, there's not a human way to think through that is not incredible. When we think of God, we don't think of often the inventor of gravity or the inventor of fire. And those things are just brilliant in the natural world, that the water cycle is concocted by the God who loves us.
I love it. You want to try?
Yeah. So when I read, I think it shows us that God's an artist. I mean, he created all of this out of nothing. And so if you can sit and observe and really dig into what is out there, I really think it actually invites you to a greater knowledge and intimacy with God, which is what I think we're all ultimately looking for, is intimacy. I think that's probably, it just pulls us nearer to him.
This is maybe unfair. I told you that we're good friends. How long have you all been friends?
Oh, man. Since high school, so like 20-something years.
Yeah, 03 or 04 we would have met. In the senior lockers, Brad was a year older than me. And he stood out among the crowd.
We were roommates as well.
Roomies. Did people, could they tell you apart?
We have gotten questions whether we're brothers.
Okay, the reason I say it's unfair is when you're friends, then you know, you can ask questions behind the question. I'm going to set you up. Will you talk about the shell in your car?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so kind of one of the, intricacies and kind of invitations that I've received with speaking to this kind of work of art, I have this broken conch shell in my truck. It's from Edisto Beach, and it's like broken such that you can like see the spiral in it, and it's really smooth from just like being washed up on the beach, and just like the sand has smoothed it down. But when you look at it from the top, you can like see the spiral, and it's just like whenever I'm kind of just like overwhelmed or kind of down, I will just like look at it. I'll spin it in my fingers and I'll look at it and I'll hold it. It's a practice that I have, and it will ground me. It'll take me back. And really, I just ponder, like, I can't believe that it's a perfect spiral, and it's just like came from God's mind. And that's just so special. And I look for that everywhere I go and just about anything.
I love it. Okay, here's my second question. And one of the verses that Emily just read to us, verse 9, my favorite phrase, I think, in all of Psalm 65 comes from there. And it says, God visits the earth. And I love the idea of God visiting the earth. I think it's such a tender word. It's not just, you know, God made the earth and got out of it. It's that God is like, it's this visitation. It's this withness. It's this like move of hospitality or something. I think that we visit people we love. And so I am curious if you have ever seen the evidence of that in your work or in your life, the God who like literally visits the ground. You first, so.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's funny. I'm like a little kid when somebody's coming over. Like, I get so excited. It's super uncool. I try to play it off, but it's... I'm kind of like that with a lot of stuff. But specifically, like, in my job, whenever I put out seed, like grass seed or flower seed, I put a lot of... I mean, like, basically, I make a living on putting out seed. And so when I do that, I'm so excited for it to germinate. And so I go through this whole like spectrum of like, did I do it too soon? Is it ever gonna rain? Oh my gosh, I think it rained too hard last night and I'd probably wash all away, you know? So, but when it finally comes up, it's like, it really is like being visited. I get so excited and I will go by and look at it so many times to just sort of remind myself, oh, it's here. And it's just so cool to like, and then like the whole process of watching it develop and grow. So that's that kind of like, feeling of visitation for me.
Mm-hmm. I love it. You got any?
Yeah, I have a quick story, and that is, I live way out in the country, and I have some neighbors that live a quarter of a mile from me, and they live up on the ridge, and I was out tractoring the other day. This has been a few weeks, months ago, and everybody who was driving by my house was pointing up to the ridge, and I was like, this is different. And I turned, and the ridge was on fire, and moving from my neighbor's house down through a gully, and all I could think was, and this is a sermon for a later day, your neighbor's fires will soon be your own.
Ooh, that'll preach right there.
And so I very quickly ran up to fight this fire, but then and I got there before the fire department came. But the really interesting, there's a lot of other things I could tell you about this story, but there was a marred face on this hillside, and it's been just a real visitation to see the transformation of that blackened earth as more germination and the old vines start coming back out of it, and now you cannot tell that there was a fire.
Really?
There's a couple of little logs way off in the distance that were burnt, but everything else is green. And if that's not a picture of what God is doing, then and His visitation on the earth, but also just a reflection on who He is to us.
I think there's like six sermons in that one. Also, I want to be able to begin one with, I was tractoring the other day.
I don't know how to, yeah, I can I go into implements, too. And but tractoring seemed like that's how I would paint the picture.
Me too. I love it. Okay, this is a total setup for both of you, but I have now heard both of you talk about acorns and visitation. Can I just... set you up to talk about some acorns?
Yeah. So the other big visitor, like I've observed now for years, but especially in the last couple of years, is so all the animals in the woods, really not even just in your neighborhood too, honestly, they're all just like so anxious and waiting for acorns to like ripen and drop, and they're just like. That's why the raccoons are eating your cat food on your porch, and like, you know, it's just like it's like a whole, I don't know. It's like an anxious feeling these animals have as they await this visitor, which is acorns. And when the acorns finally drop, you can feel this release in the wood. I mean, like, just it's almost like peace. And and an old friend coming back. But it's interesting to observe that, and it's coming up. It's like real soon the acorns are going to drop, and everybody's going to be happy. But I really do feel like it's like Advent and Christmas for like the animals. Like they're groaning and awaiting the return of something, and their savior being acorns in this situation. But
you're about to let the deer back on the land.
That's right.
I love it. When Brad said that this week, I don't know. I felt like I just kept thinking about that image over and over and over again, and it feels like so much of my life just sitting in some sort of, and I may be writing a story for animals that's not true, but in my mind they're writing the story of like, will the acorns come? Like, they've come every year, but is this the year that they don't? Mm-hmm. And I feel like I relate so much, especially in way of prayer and practice, that I feel like so much of my life with God is waiting and saying, you've come before. You really, really came before. But will you this time? And so I maybe relate to the anxiety of the earth right now.
It's funny you say that, because bears especially, you'll watch them, like, they'll crawl way out on a limb to get something that they shouldn't be trying to get. Uh-huh. And the limb breaks and they fall. And it's like, it's just like, guys, just can you chill out? Like, you've got, just, you made it all winter. Like, you'll be okay to wait a little longer.
You've been eating our Cheetos out of the trash can all winter. I love it. Okay. Verse 8 that we just read, or Emily just read for us, says that the gateways of the morning and the evening shout for joy. And so when I first was like, oh, I got to get my friends to come talk about this, and this was the question I most wanted to ask. Like, where in your life have you seen the morning or the evening shout for joy? Where is it like undeniable that the earth and your experience of it is like calling out for the glory of God?
I'm going to take this one.
Go.
For a second.
I can tell you a lot of stories of where I've seen them, and I think it's visible in sunrises and sunsets most often, or just to be out in a peaceful evening listening to crickets. But to get Pentecostal for a second.
Do it.
I stood on my parents' back porch a couple of years ago during a windstorm, and I just watched these giant oak trees bend in what you think are unnatural ways. You would never know that an oak tree could make that much of a bend without breaking, and then just to upright itself again. And it was just the cosmic dance of what looked like the trees worshiping.
Huh.
And it was just one of those holy moments where you could watch just big things move and go, this is incredible. Mm. You can't design something that big that won't fall over in that kind of wind.
Love. Yeah, so if you know me, you know that I really like to fish. So I've experienced quite a few of these moments on the water. But like specifically, my family and I like to go to this place in South Alabama, and some friends like to go down there too. So there's this place down there, and Rocky and Bo and Henry and Hayes, you know where it is. There's these cypress trees that are in the water, and these egrets come and roost in these cypress trees every night. And in the morning, they all take off and go wherever they go. And I was there fishing with one of my good friends, Russell, and he had this huge fish. It was like this long fight, and it seemed longer than it probably was, but the fish like comes off right when we get to the boat, but I like dive and scoop it with the net, and we get it, and we both just like screamed, because it was like a fish of a lifetime kind of thing. and when we did, the egrets that were roosting, it was honestly probably because we scared them, but they all took off at the same time, and they did this like tornado over our heads, and they were just like swirling around us. And it was just like, we both just like stopped and looked up, and it was just like, I think they think this is cool too. And Jesus was a fisherman. So I really do think like there's something special there. And if you've ever caught a big fish, I think you can kind of relate to that feeling.
I was at a wedding one time, and it was an outdoor wedding, and it was so beautiful. And the pastor said, he started the ceremony, and he was like, sometimes earth just agrees with heaven about what's happening. And I feel like in some ways that's what you're describing, is there are times that the earth just like says what the scriptures have said and agrees with the God who came and will come again. And I think that happens in things as small or big as fish, depending on the fish. I'm going to read this one because the wording matters to me. Genesis tells us that one of God's first invitations to humanity was to tend the ground and bring order to it. And the two of you quite literally do this for your jobs. And so you do this. You spend your days tending things. You're coaxing life out of the dirt. You spend your days paying attention to something that needs to thrive, something that might be on the verge of death that needs to. You probably spend your lives escorting things into their end. There's so much of what you do that is tending the ground and bringing order to it. And so I'm curious if your work has taught you anything about what it means to do that, not just in your jobs, but in your regular life. The phrase that we use around here at Springbrook a lot is we talk a lot about the places we live, work, learn, and play. And so I'm just curious if your work of tending the ground and bringing order to it has spoken into your other life.
Yeah, sure. So for sure, I'm going to go back to seed because I
you do a lot of it.
I do a lot of it, but throughout Scripture, there's so many likenings to the Word of God being a seed, and so I think it's relevant, you know. I have these quite a few acres of flower plots that's been a project we've been working on for years. And it's wildflower plots, but you'd think that just like let it go, but it's there's way too much that tries to take over and go wrong in these plots, and so we spend a lot of time pulling out all these weeds and getting the less desirable plants out, and then in that space you have to put seed there, something else will take over. So it's just this like constant battle back and forth. I really don't like ragweed.
Not me either.
It's a problem.
I know what it is, and yeah. I don't like it.
Yeah. And so that's one of them specifically. And then specifically, just like personally a battle, I struggle with being anxious of how I'm perceived, and and not ever really trusting that, you know, people believe in me or, you know, even would love me, you know? So that's, I think that's a battle that I have. And I have my whole life. And so one of the things that, just having a loving wife and having kids that love me, and then friends that love me and that are present with me, and then staying in the Word of God, specifically, you know, places where, you know, speaking of us being like the bride of Christ, and then, you know, Christ is for me, who can be against me? These seeds that are constantly being planted in me have really, in my life, steered me away from so strongly feeling and being so caught up in, you know, all the things I just discussed. Mm-hmm. So, it can come back. Like, it can come back real hard. But, especially when I'm not, like, present with my family and my friends and with Jesus and the Word. And so I would say that's mm-hmm. very similar to my flower plots.
Ragweed of the soul.
Ragweed of the soul.
How would you answer?
Oh, I was just going to pass this one straight to you.
To me?
Yeah, I want to hear your answer first.
I think that... I pretend to be a gardener. Stan helped me get a garden going, Stan and Nick, years ago. And for the last few years, I've been letting it rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The year of Jubilee.
The years of Jubilee. I've been, I'm growing ragweed for profit. Yeah. And so it's just sitting there, and it's so gross, and it's so, we just got new neighbors, and I wanted to apologize for my weed garden that, like, these just weeds everywhere. And I just heard how that sounded. It was not what it meant. So anyway, it's just been resting. It's just been resting, and it has not been tended at all. And then this summer, the biggest surprise came in. There were blackberries. And so I called Stan, and I was like, I have blackberries, like wild blackberries. I didn't even do it. Like, they're just there.
And Jehovah Jireh.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the birds also saw, so I only got two blackberries, and Huck got one. Of all of these plants, we legitimately got three blackberries, and I got one little tiny piece of another one. But there was something in this that reminded me that there's, I see this in my own life, and especially in my work, but that, like, there are things that have been planted long, long, long ago that will, like, those blackberry seeds existed in the rest, right? Like, they've just been growing and growing and growing for years, and completely untended, they still were there. And so I just felt like I had this part of my soul that was, like, reaching for, you know, sometimes when I look back on the church I grew up with, it was wonderful and complicated. And, like, Campbell recently was like, was it all, something along the lines of, was it all bad? And I was like, there was a lot of weird, wonky theology there, but also there were these seeds planted that are growing still today that have been tended just by the natural course of life. And so, I don't know, I think I'm rambling, but I feel like there was something in it that just, like, was asking me to, like, pull up parts of my earliest formations, but also in the lives of people that I hang out with. Like, most everyone I talk to has an experience of God, has an experience of this spiritual realm that you can find and pull out. There's a time when Paul goes and like, there are all of these sculptures of gods everywhere. And then there's this one, and they like made a sculpture of a god that had no name because they didn't want to leave any gods out. And Paul, like, shows up on the scene, and he was like, ooh, I know that god. And so I feel like in some strange way, the blackberries were this reminder to me that, like, in conversations with people who have no faith at all, there's still something. There's still something. I'm like, ooh, I know the god. I know what was planted there. Let's talk about it on this side.
No, I think that's perfect. I think I know what I'm going to say now.
Okay.
I wasn't ready for
was
the prompt,
so that's why I threw it back to you. Yeah. I would be interested.
I hope you have a blackberry farm soon, just like a really beautiful.
I like what you did
put
there.
Them in put them in rows. I'm going to offer up the humble potato. Mackenzie and I, my wife, have spent the last couple of the evenings after we can put the kid down, we'll go out and dig potatoes. And there's something there. If you've never done it, I'm going to try and paint the picture of knowing that there's something down there, but not really knowing. Mm-hmm. And to be able to pry a fork in the ground and peel up the dirt and there be something edible. Whether it's a carrot or there's something really cool about subterranean tubers because they're hidden.
If I had a dollar for every time I've said that.
Right. It is the beauty of of God, of the idea of there being resurrection, of like there's life in this and it's just hidden. And there's a lot of weeds. If anybody wants to come dig potatoes and experience it, just come on over. We're building community. I've got a few more hundred feet of potatoes to dig. They're full of Johnson grass. Johnson grass happens to be my ragweed.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Same.
There.
Yeah. And so, anyway, there are lots of life lessons, and some of them are time management that I'm learning from potatoes and what to dig and what, but mostly just that beauty of something coming out of the ground.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to give you a last question. It's this. Is there a moment or a specific plant or a season or a soil condition, or you answer how you want, where you feel like it's just something that you would call holy. You talked about life coming up from the ground, and I think if the world begins with a garden, and if we read the whole scripture and it ends in a garden, that there is some sort of cry in the world for the return of Jesus and for the kingdom of God to be everywhere. And so I'm just curious if you have a moment, or a tree, or a seed, or...
Yeah, so there's a particular type of rain that's like, it's hard for me to put my finger on it, but it's like not a light rain, but it's not so heavy that you get completely soaked. It's not uncomfortable, mm-hmm. and the light's just like, there's a particular type amount of light that's in this rain, but when this rain is happening, it's like all the animals are happy in it. Like you can just watch. Like in this type of rain, I've seen deer just like running around playing with each other, like splashing each other. Jessica and I watched a buck run and jump into the ocean and play in the waves. Like it was just, it's like, you know, he was having a day. And then I saw Henry catch like the redfish of his life, probably. He doesn't know it yet, but probably.
Day ain't over yet, buddy.
Yeah, and it's just really special. And then seed, like I'm going to go back to seed. Seed loves this kind of rain too. And then I'm telling you, like, and you can go back the day after this kind of rain, and like everything's up and germinated. So get a rain jacket, some good rain gear. The next time, I don't know how to put my finger on it. So you're gonna have to go out in the rain, and if it's not the right kind of rain, you'll know, because you want to go back inside. But if it is the right kind of rain, I'm telling you, it's special. It's also the kind that like makes you sleep really good too. So if you've ever slept really well on a rainy night, that's the kind. So maybe just get out of bed and go check it out. So
I think the psalmist agreed with you on that one. Okay, I'm gonna set you up.
Oh, you set me up.
Yeah, will you talk about the dogwood?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I will. I plant a lot of trees, and in 20 years of doing this work, I can't tell you how many dogwood trees I've planted. It's a thing around here. If you don't know, people
love
their dogwood trees, and I'm not crazy about them. But my favorite tree in the whole world is a dogwood, and it happens to be near Campsite 17 and in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, and it grows right beside a stream. And I just happened to kind of stumble upon it one day. It's never been pruned. It probably never had human hands like working on it or doing things to it, and it. Just is this majestic sculpture that has grown right out of the ground, and it's very old. And I think the reason that I love this tree is that if you were to take a dogwood, and if you were to buy it at Lowe's or Home Depot, and take it and plant it right beside a stream, it would die. Dogwoods hate to have wet, what we call wet feet. They don't do well if they're overwatered. And so when I see this dogwood, it's just a reminder of the miracles that go on. And also, I think maybe the psalmist left the one line out that says, human systems fail. Mm. But God's systems don't fail. Mm. And not to put words in the psalmist's mouth, but he didn't say them.
he says it elsewhere.
So that's what I would say is that I see the beauty in this tree that could only be done by God. As much as we may try, remember that human systems fail.
Hmm. Okay, anything else you wish you would have said that I didn't ask you?
I mean, I have so many things, but I don't like
it. Not related to this.
Not in an organized fashion, you know?
Okay, here's what I want to do. We have a rhythm every week at our church we call Selah. And it's just like a quiet moment or pause. And so today, what we want to do for Selah is we want to offer you a quiet rain moment or a dogwood planted by the stream moment in this cold, cold room to allow you some space to consider the things that we've talked about. As we were talking before this, we all grew up in a kind of church environment that seemed to be distrusting of things that you experience in the world. And it was kind of a subtlety. I don't remember anyone ever saying that directly, but it was kind of like God speaks through the Bible and not just in nature. And I think I missed the both end of it. Like God speaks through the Bible and then nature seems to declare exactly what he's said is true. And so again and again, earth is, I'm stealing a line from you, earth is groaning for the return of the king. And so when we are there, there is something about the language of nature that just reaffirms all that we believe and all that we see. We watch it deteriorating by the destruction of humanity, right? Like it just preaches the gospel again and again and again in every way. So here is my question for you. I want to turn the question that I just asked them around on you. Is there a time in your life where you have been in the world and you experience something holy that you would only describe as holy? Is there a time that you saw something, a tree, a seed, a moment, a rain, that felt like earth groaning for the return of Jesus? We're gonna put the verses back on the screen and just give you a moment to consider. I told them this would be so much more fun if we were like, and now get in your cars and we're all driving to campsite 17 and we've ordered rain. And so it is just gonna be the perfect moment. And I was asking them, I was like, is there a takeaway you want? And it's like, we all want you to like, you know, drive to the Tetons today and experience all of this that, you know, Augustine talks about how every beautiful thing finds its endpoint in Jesus, right? But instead, would you use your mind and your imagination to do that? And then maybe on your way out, you know, go to the park. Do something. Okay, so I'm just going to pray. I'm going to leave this time for you to think and consider and pray, and then we'll come to the table together. So, Jesus, I thank you for my friends who have eyes that aren't as natural for me as they are to them. And so I pray that for this moment that you would place within us this language of this language of the world. I pray that you would fill us with imagination that could go back to a moment, a sunset, a sunrise, this moment where earth declared who you were, where earth declared your glory. I pray that you would put in us the song of Psalm 65, the song of the psalmist who watches the rain and thinks of you, who watches the trees and thinks of you, who sees the seed and thinks of you. And I thank you for friends that would dare to sit on a stage in a way that they don't normally do and say, we see it, we see it, we see it. And so I just ask in these moments, would you give us imagination to see you, your work, your glory, the way, the places that you would like to plant us, the things that you would like to prune and refine in us. Would you allow the earth to declare your glory? In your name we pray. Amen.